Thanks a lot for that.
That was really good. The heart is the core of who you are. And what does the Bible say about our hearts? They are desperately wicked. As today's reading list is being passed out to us, Christians are people who have repented of their sins. They have placed their faith in Jesus. They have experienced the grace and mercy of God and have had their lives transformed. You get that? But there's more. But they are still people. And they still make mistakes. Sometimes our mistakes are the results of our own spiritual immaturity. Sometimes these mistakes are simply accidents that we have no wrong intentions, but they just kind of happen. And sometimes the old nature rears its ugly head and we walk right into sin. One result of these mistakes that we all make, sometimes it causes hard feelings in other people. Sometimes relationships can be strained or even broken. Regardless of where the fault lies, whether it's us that have made these mistakes or other people that have made these mistakes, repairing those broken relationships is essential in our lives. When we think about it, one brief conversation can restore a relationship that we can enjoy for the rest of our lives. It's worth restoring relationships. When I was in Bible school, there was a friend of mine who used to talk about relationships all the time. It was in his opinion, area of expertise, and he did have some expertise in this area. Lanny used to say this to us all the time. The basis of the kingdom of God is relationships. The very foundation of God's kingdom that the church is about today building, that foundation is relationships. First and primarily, there's a vertical relationship, a relationship between us and God our Father. That relationship had been destroyed in the Garden of Eden. And God thought our relationship with Him was so important that to repair that relationship, He sent His only Son to die on the cross, to take our sins upon Him. Friends, neighbors, if relationships are that important to God, they should be important to us as well. The basis of the kingdom of God is relationships, Lanny used to say. Vertical, because of that vertical relationship, it fuels and sustains and builds the horizontal relationships, those relationships that we have with each other. That because of my mistakes, because of your mistakes, sometimes these relationships need to be repaired. Let's look at the advice that Solomon gives to us in the book of Proverbs about repairing relationships. Let's read through this list. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. He who conceals his hatred, his ill will towards others, when something bad happens to them, something good has happened to me. I feel better because of their pain. Something has happened that they have hurt me, and I feel good when they feel hurt themselves. But we don't like to think that, do we? No, we're better than that. So we deny that hatred. We hide it from them. We hide it from ourselves. And we try and hide it from God too. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor. What does that word deride mean? Put down? Good way to say it. Whoever lacks judgment and puts down his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. Try and do this sometime. Hold your tongue and talk. Can you do it? No. A man of understanding holds his tongue. A gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Bob, what you did was wrong. What is usually the first thing that comes out of my mouth? I defend myself. Well, I wasn't really wrong, you know. Why do I try and defend myself? Pride? Pride only breeds quarrels. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. As once said that God says to love our friends, love our neighbors, love our enemies. Why? Because oftentimes our neighbors and enemies are the same person. He makes your enemies live at peace with you if your ways are pleasing to God. He who covers over an offense promotes love. Covers over doesn't mean obscures, doesn't mean doesn't look at it, doesn't mean, well, we won't even think about that. Covers over means put a piece of cloth over it so you don't see it anymore. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is the verse that says this, that God takes our sins and puts them behind his back. Well, if they're behind his back, guess what? He can't see them. That's what it means. He who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Somebody does something wrong to you, and every time you see that friend, what do you bring up? I remember 12 years ago. You haven't gotten over it yet? An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. And disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. Have an argument with a friend? It's tough to break through that. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Do not gloat when your enemy falls. That's so easy to do, isn't it? No, that's real hard. Do not gloat when your enemy falls, when he stumbles. Do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from him, and God turns his wrath away from him. Who's he turning his wrath to? You. Do not testify against your neighbor without a cause, or use your lips to deceive. Do not say, I'll do to him as he has done to me. I'll pay that man back for what he did. You ever said that? You ever said that? You ever felt that? You ever thought that? Don't do it. If you argue your case with a neighbor, do not betray another man's confidence, or he who hears it may shame you, and you will never lose your bad reputation. Bad reputation, boy, that's hard to lose. Once you get pegged with it, it's yours for the rest of your life, no matter what you do. Don't believe me? Do you know anybody with the name Ebenezer? Oh, no. Because as soon as you hear the name Ebenezer, especially right after Christmas, what do you think? Scrooge. But at the end of the story, isn't Scrooge a great guy? Isn't he a wonderful man? There was nobody in good old London, England that was like him. That's what the author says, right? But he already had that bad reputation. Once you get it, boy, it's hard to lose. Through patience, a ruler, and oftentimes I read this proverb to my students at school, and instead of saying a ruler, I say parent. Oh. Through patience, a parent can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. A soft answer, same principle, right? A gentle tongue can break a bone. So I tell my kids, when your parents and you say something and you disagree with their opinion, don't look at them. Don't roll the old eyeballs, you know, right? You're so mean. No, don't get on like that. with patience, a parent might be persuaded. If your enemy is hungry, give him a good, swift kick in the pants. That's what we want to do, right? Your enemy is hungry. Give him something to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Wounds from a friend, this was on last week's list. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Now I know that in 20, 25 minutes this morning, there is no possible way that I can fully address how to repair broken relationships. Whether that's a broken relationship in your marriage, in your family, friends, colleagues at work, your neighbor next door, whatever it may be, there is no way that I can possibly address that in 15, 20 minutes this morning. Just can't do it. So a friend of mine is a family life pastor out in Arizona. A couple weeks ago, I emailed him and I said, "Hey, Dave, can you give me something where I can tell people to turn to if they're dealing with broken relationships and what I say this morning isn't enough to really help them?" And he wrote back and he said, "Yeah, these are two great resources that people should have. The website from Peacemaker Ministries, and if you go there, there's all kinds of places that you can go to. They'll direct you to other links and so forth that really will help you. And then a book that he said is really, really good, written by Paul Meyer, 7 Secrets of a Happy Home. Take a look at those resources. If you are, like most people, dealing with broken relationships, I can't think of anybody to get advice from that's better than two people. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, whom's called the wisest man that ever lived, and one other person. Jesus. That's where we're going to go. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." You get that? God thinks that repairing broken relationships is more important than worship. You get that? Jesus says, if you're coming to the altar with a gift and there's something wrong between you and one of your friends, leave the gift right there. Don't even offer it. Go and talk to your friend and repair that relationship. Once you have done that, then come back and offer the gift. Is that true? That's what Jesus said. In the New Testament also, we're instructed to do this. Before you come to the Lord's table, and there is something between you and someone else, what are we told to do? Go fix it before you take the bread and wine? Isn't that true? Wow. Repairing relationships. God takes it pretty seriously, doesn't he? Before you worship me, God says, take care of the horizontal things. Matthew 18. Boy, we all know this one, right? What are we supposed to do if a brother has wronged you? Or you've wronged a brother? Well, this is what Jesus says. Listen. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. Wait a minute. If someone has wronged me, I don't want to go and make it good. Why? I enjoy carrying a grudge. Don't you? I enjoy feeling hostile towards that person because I enjoy feeling superior to everybody. They wrong me. I would never do that. I'm so much better than that. Boy, they wronged me. That was wrong of them. Do not say, I'll do to him as he has done to me. I'll pay back that man for what he did. That's what Proverbs, right? That's what Solomon said. Instead, Jesus says, you go to yourself, you go to your friend, and talk to him alone. Just the two of you. Don't complain to your other friends. Don't post it on Facebook. Don't go around feeling, ooh, I don't like that man. Go and talk to him alone. I would like to suggest there's something you do before that. What? What? Pray. Pray a lot. You want to pray that you're going to have the Spirit of God give you the words to say. You're going to pray for an open door to address the sin, because sometimes timing is everything. And you're going to pray for an open heart, both an open heart in you and an open heart in the person you're talking to. But go and address the person. Let him or her know that they've hurt you. You know what? In 99% of the time, that's where the matter ends. It really does. Takes a little bit of courage. Sometimes it's hard. But like I said earlier, a brief conversation can save a lifelong friendship. What's the second step? Verse 16. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. For a long time, I thought, well, you're taking another person along to be a witness, so when that person says, no, I will not apologize, oh, I got a witness, we're going to go and we're going to take care of this matter. No, that's not why you're bringing that other person along. You're bringing that other person along as an arbitrator, because you know what? He may have offended you, but sometime before that, guess what? You probably offended him. And this third person, this neutral party, this party that doesn't have a stake in the fight, the party that can look at things unemotionally, can offer you and your friend advice. And what does Proverbs say? But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Be wise and listen to this third friend. Well, if that doesn't work, what are you supposed to do then? Verse 17, but if he refuses to listen to them, you tell it to the church. That doesn't mean you stand up here and go, listen to what my friend did to me. Or the Christian gossip. You know what that one is? I want you to pray for a friend of mine. No. You take it to the leaders of the church. Why? Because hopefully the leaders of the church have more wisdom than you and your friend put together have. What is the purpose of going to your church leaders? It is not to discipline this other person or you. What is it? To reconcile, to restore the relationship, to repair that friendship. And your church leaders, wiser, more godly than us, hopefully they can help us to do just that. And the last part, what if your friend still doesn't listen to the church leaders? And then it says this, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen to even the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Well, that means shun them completely, right? How did Jesus treat sinners and tax collectors? He hung out with them. They felt so good about him, they invited him to his house. If Jesus had had a house, he probably would have invited them over. Hey, we're going to watch the Super Bowl in a couple weeks. Come on over. We'll have a party. Isn't that the way Jesus treated sinners and tax collectors? Why should we treat these people who have wronged us like that? Remember that proverb? If your enemy is hungry, don't invite him to dinner. No. Why? If your enemy is hungry, invite them out to lunch. Right? Treat them the same way that Jesus would treat them. Remember that old thing, WWJD? Right? What would Jesus do? Well, you know what Jesus would do. Why? Repairing relationships is important. Relationships are the basis of the kingdom of God. I want to finish with Paul's words from Colossians 3, verse 12 and 13 and 14. Paul says this, therefore, as God's chosen people. Wow. There's a responsibility, huh? God chose you. Holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves. Now, this morning, everybody here got up out of bed and put on clothes. Because, one, you would be embarrassed to show up here naked. And number two, you would be arrested. You put on clothes. Paul wants us to put on these clothes. Listen, they're more important. compassion. Compassion. You're clothed with compassion. Go ahead and hate that person that has wronged you. Good luck with that. Compassion, kindness, humility. When you're as great as I am, humility's so much easier. Gentleness and patience. Bear with each other. Tolerate people. Even those idiots that wronged you. Right? Don't deride them, though. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. While you, me, were enemies to God, what'd he do? Jesus died for us. Well, Bob, that's easy for you to say. I don't know if I can do that. Well, how do you do it? How do you forgive someone? Here's one way. Continue to read, study, and apply the wisdom that we find in the book of Proverbs. That's one way to do it. And as we build these horizontal relationships, as we repair these horizontal relationships, what are we doing? We're also strengthening that vertical relationship and growing closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving.